It is Wednesday morning. We check in with County Councilwoman Marty Hawk, who makes her weekly Wednesday visits. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day again in Monroe County, and I'm glad that we're looking forward to a great fair.
It is.
Yeah, that's nice,
fair,
isn't it?
Getting started a little bit earlier this year, as we know, with the 4-H because of the folks. Well, school starts earlier, and you've got the state fair going on, so it's an exciting time out in your part of the county.
Right, it sure is, and we do love all the 4-H exhibits. Of course, our fair's a little bit more than 4-H, but I'll tell you, the 4-H families are out there working, and my friends have worked to try to get their hogs out there at the fair or their cows out the fair. I mean, I get pictures all the time of this. These are my hogs out at the fair.
That's right.
So,
right. I mean, they work so hard for
that
this
is so,
time.
So, it's pretty cool.
And I love even going to the flower shows
and
looking at all of the exhibits. And that is, of course, county government helps support that for certain. So it's a big part of coming together of everybody in the county and celebrating what our county is all about, especially in this area. This whole part of the county is very much into the fair. But if we get back to other parts of county business, I know you wanted to speak a bit about the sentencing for Steve Salter somehow or the other, the paper, and everyone sort of missed when it actually happened. But it was reported on yesterday.
Right.
I think as a
only took them a couple of
reminded
weeks.
Them. And of course, it looks as if stay home and watch TV for a few months, and all will be well. It's very difficult to see our public officials abuse our trust and take the public's dollars and. And all that happens is they get to go home and watch TV.
The interesting part of that story was it didn't mention about when the money is going to be paid back, if it needed to be paid back. I'm not sure how that works. Was there some kind of bond that covered? I don't know how that works.
Right. I when you look it up on that, what is it, My Case or something? I didn't see any report on how all that was going to work at all. I did see that the daughter, who also abused the credit cards, or at least it appears that's what happened, you know, not through with the whole situation, but she's coming back on September 28th to change. It's a change of plea hearing on September 28th. Now, she has a public defender. Steve Salter had an attorney, but the daughter has a public defender. So, you know, I don't know. She's been through a lot of, there's been a lot of different charges, like several for theft, one for false informing, one for fraud, and then fraud on financial institution. Let's just see what happens with that.
Wow. All I can say is wow.
But, you know, if you're going to take the public's dollar, you ought to have to spend some time, it seems to me, paying this money back to the public.
But well, that should be the first thing that should happen, is you pay the money back.
Might have something to do with the jail population. We did receive notice again yesterday that we are in a crisis with the jail population.
We're always in a crisis with the jail population,
Marty.
Well,
let me tell you what. We are under a federal... should I say federal? Anyway, it's a consent decree that says we will not have this overpopulation at our jail, or we will be forced to build a new jail. And we are told that no matter what they seem to do to try to reduce the population there in the jail, we continue to hit that number, which is far more than what we agreed to in the consent decree. Now, what they're going to, seems to me, they would have to do is try to find another jail to send some of these folks.
Right.
Some other county jail. Of course, that'll cost us so much per night. But
that'll be a little less expensive than another jail, won't it, though, Marty?
Well, certainly, absolutely. And I spoke with the sheriff just a bit about that last night, saying that, you know, obviously we have to be in compliance with the consent decree, and that may just be what we will have to do. I mean, it will cost dollars, but then you have to just weigh what's the better way to do it. But in my opinion, if they're releasing folks that they would rather not release, well, we would rather they not release them either. I mean, you know, who do we want on our streets?
Well,
if they're struggling trying to decide who is the safest ones to put back out on the street.
Do you think they're doing a good job of that, Marty? Do you think they're doing a really good job of looking at who's in there and what they've been charged with and who's safe and who's not? And maybe they ought to try some house arrests. Like, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Steve Salter gets it. So maybe some house arrest situations would be better for some of these people.
Well, and that's the reason why my next statement here would be having to do with what the courts want to do, which is do something about a work release center. And the reason why I want to discuss that a bit, and you know, I would rather not see, I don't want to spend any extra money at the jail. I don't really want a work release center. I don't want to build a new jail, but I also don't want criminals out really causing havoc in our community. And so, to that extent, we have to figure out, as a county council, how we are going to address this. Where are we going to get the money to address it? Because it isn't free. And yes, remember, it's not the jail, that it's not the sheriff who decides who's going to be released. That's all up to the courts. So the message came from Judge Kellums, and I'm sure he is struggling over who to release and not to release. But there's been a big movement toward having a work release center. Well, that doesn't come free. The operation, building it and operating it does not come free. And those dollars have just been not available. And the courts had hoped that with this public safety tax, there would be enough revenue that we could work toward having that so that we could free up that population out of the jail, put them in a work release center, which is less expensive than operating a jail, and hopefully move those people back into productive society. But then where do you get the money? Well, that's the reason why I have very real concerns about the folks who want to use the money that we could use for that and rather use it for the convention center. And why I would bring
you back to the public safety tax for the convention center?
Wait just a minute. I want to make sure that I'm making myself clear. There's dollars that if the food and beverage tax is passed, because that's what is a big push to use for expanding the convention center, the uses that food and beverage tax could be used for is you could use it for a convention center, conference center, or auditorium facility, or you know, there's like five different things you could use it for, and one of them is public safety facilities or operations. Well, I'm just thinking we should at least recognize what those dollars could be used for in determining what pot of money to go to if they want to go ahead and expand the convention center. And so to that end, I've researched to see how much the hotel motel tax, that innkeeper's tax, is for the different counties. Remember, that's a visitor's tax. It's no local taxes. And some of those counties are up to 8%. Now, there's one that's up to 10%. That's Marion County, and I certainly wouldn't suggest that. But we could take it from that 5% up to the 8%. We discussed that a little bit just last week. And to say that 5% is already spoken for is a misnomer. You have to look at the total pot of money and then try to allocate that total pot of money the best that you can for what your desired goal is. That's the way all budgeting is. So you remember the 5% brought in $1 one set of dollars when we first put it in place. Well, that's really growing. That total amount is much higher now, that 5% of all of the visitors coming in.
Yeah, because we have more hotel rooms, we have more things built.
Right? Yes, there's been more hotels built, there's the tourism business has grown, and those dollars to support that has grown. So if they looked at the total pot of money to see if that would help them to do what it is that they want to do. Now, maybe they've already looked at that. They've already said, well, this is the only thing that's going to work is do the food and beverage tax. But I hope that all those very same folks are considering that it is a county council who has to vote on that food and beverage tax. And I would certainly hope that we're all looking at what our first obligation is of what we're required to do, not just what we want to do. And
maybe
and
instead of having
sources.
The Taj Mahal of all 911 services that we've got, that dispatch center, instead of having something that is frankly growing into the most expensive dispatch center on the planet, perhaps we ought to use some of that money.
Let's talk about that just a bit, because last night's meeting lasted until almost 11, having to do with dollars for fire departments or dispatch center. And those budgets were presented yesterday or last evening. I didn't get the copy of it until after the meeting had already started. Now, I was in attendance at the meeting so that I could listen and try to follow along with what was going on at the meeting. But I'm not a part of that Income Tax Council committee. But if that was being presented to them, all of those different budgets and revenue sources, so they could decide how much could be available for the fire departments, individual fire departments. And so it's important that we all support whatever direction it is we think we need to go. But I've been hearing rumblings. I even received a phone call yesterday saying, what did I think about increasing that tax? But why didn't somebody look at, here's a pot of money, here's the things that we want to do with a pot of money, and spread it around the best that you can. I mean, and here's the different areas that we need to serve. So I'm sorry, we just seem to not ever have the dollars that we want to do everything we want to do. But sometimes you have to back off and say, but this is what I've got to work with, and this is what I can do. A very new, different way to look at it.
Well,
one thing I did hear last night, which I wasn't fully aware of, is that the Van Buren Fire Department is in very full discussion and negotiating with the Perry Clear Creek Fire Department to combine those two fire departments. Now, at one time, there was consideration they would join with the Ellisville Fire Department. I didn't hear them say Ellisville was going to be included with this grouping. But all of that is something that will be worked out. It will have to be worked out.
Marty, I am going to just tell you, as a citizen, as someone who is just, I mean, I am just floored that there is so little looking at the big picture here. Why is it that when we made this big push to do a public safety tax, nobody said, oh, well, maybe we need a work release center and part of this money should be allocated for that? Why is it that it's coming out now and then all of a sudden we're saying, oh, well, we should have a food and beverage tax to pay for it?
I'm sorry you missed it. I'm sorry you missed it. But the courts were very much pushing for a work release center when we were discussing the public safety tax.
I don't think I ever heard that discussion.
But they did.
Maybe they did. It wasn't in the newspaper, and I don't believe we talked about it. And all I am saying is that right now, what I'm hearing is that we are going to be putting another $3 million into a dispatch center while we're not putting money into things that are actually going to affect the safety and the care of our citizens in this community. And I'm sorry, I just think that, you know, we didn't have these millions and millions of dollars for the dispatch center, and I don't recall it being like the end of the universe prior to them building that Taj Mahal that is over top of the transportation center. I don't even get this anymore. I think that the monies that we are spending here for looks and for the convenience of a lot of people has just gotten beyond comprehension.
Well, and I certainly respect that's the way you feel about it. I would, you know.
Yeah. How many more taxes are we going to raise?
That building is sitting there. What I want people to look at is before they make each individual decision about where dollars should go, that you look at the big picture and see what your other needs are going to be and not spend the dollars that you have available to be able to provide all those different services on one thing or the other before you've looked at the big picture. It just seems to me that the city and the county and IU used to get together and have a conversation about.
Well, it's pretty simple, Marty. Nobody's told anybody no, so they just keep assuming they're going to
keep going. How many more taxes are we going to raise? How much more money do they need before enough is enough? I mean,
well,
I don't know why
course,
the people aren't just out with pitchforks at the moment.
And if you'll recall how long I've been asking to see the revenue that's been, you know, the flow of cash going into the dispatch center, and then all of the different budget lines of appropriations and how much is left in there that has not been spent, and what is their cash balance now, and what might be at the end of the year, have not been able to get that. Did have a conversation last evening with one of the city attorneys. It appears they're going to try to get it for us, but the people on that Income Tax Council committee ought to have all of that information in front of them before they start saying, well, we have to give extra money to the dispatch center because they need it for whatever it is they want to spend it on. They want six new dispatchers. Why don't they look at what revenues they actually have coming in now and what dollars might be left over? Well, then their controller got up to say that according to the interlocal agreement, any dollars that's left over that's not spent at the end of the year is all going to come over in the capital projects fund. And then every 3 or 4 years, they'll decide where to spend it. So, I mean, I would just say that before we would up their budgets so that they'll have more money left over each year to go into a capital projects fund that we really won't have any control over, perhaps they'd better come forward and show us what's actually going on with that fund now. And I'm not saying there's anything nefarious going on. I'm just saying, why has that not been presented? So hopefully they
will. Why wouldn't you do that every year? Just raise it up so you can, slide it in. Is that similar to what the library was doing, Marty?
And keep hold the money back, and then pretty soon you've got enough money to do something else.
It's very interesting. There's no doubt about it.
Well, it's hard to keep all those balls in the air at the same time. And if you say one word about anything that's not totally positive, it's like, okay, you're against everything. And that's not true.
Just pay for it the right way.
I want us to provide the very best possible services in a cost-effective manner and make sure that our first responders have all of the help and assistance that we can give them. Make certain that they are a priority, that public safety is a priority. But there's still a limited amount of money that you can have for that. So you have to make sure it's spent in a cost-effective manner.
That's it. And again, until that the pile of money isn't infinite, so there has to be ways and means to make sure it's being spent the right way.
They're going to be meeting again on Thursday after hearing the fire departments ask for what it was they needed, and so this income tax committee will be meeting again on Thursday. So there'll be an update on Thursday.
All right, and we'll get that update from you next Wednesday and all county business that goes on, and that will be the month of August, believe it or not. We'll get caught up.
The day right in the middle of the fair.
That's right, and the day before MCC or RBB goes back to school.
Oh, I just think this is unfair. These poor kids.
I agree with you, Marty. I think that they've cut summer like in a third. It's just
180 days. You got to put them in somewhere.
Absolutely. I get it. I just feel really bad for all those little kiddos.
No, they don't know any different. They've been going this early forever. So it's normal to them. It's us old folks that say, "Gee whiz."
All right. Does that sound like somebody's ready for their kids to go back to school?
No, not at all. No. They just don't know any better. They just think it's always in August you go back to school. So,
Marty, thank you for all the information, and please don't think I'm upset with you. I just am not at all. I just can't even comprehend what thought processes are going on
right
now.
You know what, Margaret? You represent exactly what I'm hearing from so many people, and I'm glad that you continue to remind me. Not everybody's aware of all these little details and why some of these decisions have to be made. And we still have to look at the big picture.
Picture looking right now. It's what's in it for me, it seems like. And I think it's just absolutely abhorrent.
And we'll talk more about it next week.
You have a wonderful day, Marty.
You as well.